with me to 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 6. We pick up where we left off in this new year in our study of 1 John. Last time we got through to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 2 and just introduced verse 3. So we'll do a little bit of a review, but let's reread the section. John writes, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit be our teacher. I ask once again you hide me behind the cross, that you have your way and your will in our hearts and our minds today. And even more importantly, Father, that we might take from this passage information and truth that we will apply to situations of life, especially in these days that we live, where many false teachings and false prophets are arising before you come. Help your church, your people, to be very discerning in these days. We know, Father, you've given us all the resources. May we now apply them. We ask for your help and your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. Well, there's been a lot in the news of late concerning the FBI. A recent federal internal inquiry based on a review of over 41,000 pieces of evidence in the FBI offices across this country could possibly have consequences for criminal investigations and for prosecutions. FBI agents in every region of the country, it's been reported, have mishandled, mislabeled, and lost evidence. And this is according to this highly critical internal investigation. You say, well, that's not good news. No, it's not. Yet, I want you to know, as it also was reported, that there are many, many, many great agents that work hard and protect Americans. They go to work every day and put many times their life on the line. We always have Mueller and Scully protecting us, right? Nah. But seriously, one such man is Joe Navarro. Joe Navarro is a 25-year veteran of the FBI. He is also now the author of two books. One, What Everybody Is Saying, and two, a book that I'm more concerned about, titled Dangerous Personalities. This FBI agent has studied at length the life, teachings, and behavior of such cult leaders like Jim Jones of Jonestown, Guyana. David Koresh, we know from the Branch Davidians. Marshall Heffapowit of the hideous Heaven Gate cult. And many, many others. Joe stated in his book, and I quote, From my studies of cults and cult leaders during my life in the FBI, I learned early on that there are some things to look for in these organizations. And he mentions a number of things and kind of concludes with this, that it is the character and the integrity of the leaders we need to be very concerned about. As I read that, I thought, that's exactly what God is saying here to His church. What he went on to say that stands out about these individuals is that they were all pathological narcissists. They all had or had an overabundant belief that they were special, that they and they alone had the answers to the problems, and that they were to be revered. Isn't that interesting? Not even our Lord Jesus asked to be revered, although he was worshipped at times, and because he is God, he accepted that worship. But he was always humble. Humbled himself, the Bible says in the book of Philippians, even unto the death of the cross. You don't hear much about these cult leaders today wanting to lay their lives down for their people. Joe goes on to say that these individuals often demand loyalty from their followers. They demand it. They don't earn it. They overvalue themselves and devalue those that are around them. They're intolerant of criticism. And above all, they do not like being questioned and being challenged. And yet, in spite of these terrible, terrible traits and virtues, people still follow them. It ought not be that way with the church. God has given you, as a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit, which is a discerning spirit. And we ought to be mindful that the Bible gives us the resources. The Bible gives us the information to discern these individuals. And it alarms me that even in these days we have individuals getting caught up in cults or charismatic leaders that really do not care about you. What they care about is your money and your loyalty to them. The Bible warns us that we as God's children have a responsibility to test the spirits. Now, we already began this message about a month ago now, but I didn't finish it. We started out by saying that the Bible gives us direction that we're to filter what they teach through the biblical grid. And the first test I said is that we check out their content. What is the content of their message? What is the objective of their message? We discovered there are two kinds of spirit in the world, and we ended our Bible reading this morning with that. Hereby know we, verse 6. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Do you know the spirit of error when you run into it? If you're saved and you're a student of the Word of God and you're in the Bible and you're feeding that Holy Spirit, you will certainly know the spirit of error. Amen? You'll say, wait a minute, I just read in the Bible yesterday, God said such and such. And this individual is coming along and telling me the opposite. It is to this issue that the Scripture speaks to us today. And John tells us, beloved, he says, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God. And God has given us His Holy Word, and God has given us His Holy Spirit. Why? Because many false prophets are going out into the world. And we need to be mindful of them. That's verse 1. We covered that. And we also covered verse 2. Hereby know you, or ye, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses or makes the confession that Jesus Christ is come in the, what's that next word? Flesh is of God. Now there are many organizations that believe in Jesus. They believe that he was a great man, he was a great teacher, a great prophet. He was a man that changed the world, but they do not believe he's God in the flesh. And right then you ought to turn them off. Amen. A true teacher of God will teach that Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity, that he existed in eternity past, and that he became a man, fulfilling the Word of God. He came to this earth in flesh and blood. You know, when Paul was preaching to the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, we studied that not too long ago. Do you know that the Bereans were mindful of the truth that I'm giving you? They checked Paul out. You say, oh, Paul's a great man of God. Yeah, but you know what? The Bereans were doing what God has called them to do. They tested his teaching. The Bible says they tested his teaching by searching the what? Scriptures. And if you'll stay there in the scriptures and filter what you hear through the biblical grid, you'll be okay. But unfortunately, we're living in a day and age where there is more attention to the spectacular. There's more attention to drama. There's more attention to charismatic leaders. And Christians get their eyes off of God, and they get their eyes on a man. And then they are misled. And so I take you back in review to the first point that John is making. And by the way, John is just reiterating what the Lord Jesus taught during his itinerant ministry, that we, as his children, and a number of times in this passage, we are called by this endearing term. In the Greek, it is the word technion, which means really, literally means little child or little infant. In fact, I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that when the wise men came to Jesus, they didn't use that word, technion, because it actually refers to a little baby, an infant. They used a different word because Jesus was no longer an infant, he was a child. But in this passage of scripture, it is used in an endearing way. We are all God's little babies. Isn't that endearing? And he says it that way. You're God's little babes. And he's watching out for you. And he's given you his Holy Spirit. And I think that we take that for granted. I remind you again and again, Jesus told his disciples, and by the way, we're his disciples. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. Remember they were all sad in John chapter 14, 15, 16? Oh, don't leave us, Jesus. Because I have to. If I don't, the Holy Spirit won't come. Well, listen, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. But ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit is God too. And he's in you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And he will impart to you the wisdom you need. But you know what? You've got to do your part. You need to be a student of the Word of God. And feed the Spirit that's within you. And you won't go astray and be giving your money to some preacher who's out there for filthy lucre's sake. And there's a lot of them. And the reason why I introduced this lesson with this story, true story, about Joe Navarro is because here's a secular man who has researched and he's found the same thing through his study that the Bible tells us. That there are people out there who all they want is your money and your loyalty to their cause. And they don't really care about God. They're happy to use God. And they're happy to use Jesus as a bridge to their objective. And so we check out the content. If they're not preaching Jesus Christ come in the flesh, crucified, buried, risen, and coming again, get out! Get out. And don't give them a dime. God will hold you accountable. Second test is we are to check out their leaders. Just as Joe Navarro was assigned to study these cult leaders and how they could have such an impact and power and influence on people. We are to check out these false prophets. We're to check out their leadership. We're to check out their motivation behind them becoming leaders. And so another way to try the spirit is to examine the preacher or teacher to see why do they proclaim Jesus is the Son of God. Not everyone that proclaims Jesus to be the Son of God is doing it to get people saved. Look with me at verse 3 now. Again, John says, he says, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And so again, the emphasis is check out that message. But then he goes on to say, and this is the spirit of Antichrist. There is a spirit of Antichrist in the world. And it has been in the world since the coming of the Lord Jesus. And it will continue until it literally manifested itself in a person who will be the Antichrist. And we know that ultimately he will be empowered by Satan himself. And so there is a spirit of Antichrist, whereof John says, you or ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So it was in the world in the first century, it's still here today. Many false teachers will use the name of Jesus for fundraising, and they'll get you to feel good about what you're doing. Listen, I've checked a lot of these people out, and it saddens me to know that they're frauds and phonies. It saddens me because when they get up there, they look legitimate, they act legitimate, but when you check them out, they have a spirit of Antichrist. How dare they give a penny on a dollar and tell you that they're given all to put a well in this village? And yet, you find out that they pocket most of the money, they buy themselves a jet, and they're vacationing on these islands for weeks and months at a time. I don't find that to be the cause of ministry. Some even will claim, and you know this to be true, some will even claim they're Jesus Christ. There have been a few even in our time. Listen, I'm not making this up. Jesus said this. Keep your finger there. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, real quick. And in this passage, there's a lot of information about the end times, but I want to focus on the false teachers and prophets. So pick it up at verse, chapter 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, note what he says, take heed that no man, what? Deceive you. And he's given us kind of an insurance policy that we're not deceived. That is the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, for many shall come in my what? Name, saying, I am Christ. And they shall deceive many. But you know what? You should not be deceived. It saddens me that I hear about Christians, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular here, but I hear about Christians who fall prey to these charlatans. Many years ago, there was a lady in our church. She's going home to be with the Lord. I don't know how many times I went to her home and comforted her because she gave all her money to fraudulent organizations. She found out it was all a lie. Broke her heart. Jesus has not left us without a comforter. And the word also conveys one who comes alongside to give us guidance. Look at verse 11. Again, The Lord Jesus says, and many false prophets shall what? Rise and deceive many. Verse 23. He says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there. In other words, oh, Christ is over here. Oh, Christ could be found teaching in this organization. He's the Christ. The Lord Jesus told us what? Believe it not. Because let me tell you something, the whole world is going to know when Jesus comes again. There will be no doubt about the fact that Jesus has come for the second time. And first he'll be introduced because there will be the disappearance of millions of people around the world. And then the Bible says this. In verse 24, Jesus again speaking, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and they shall show great what? Signs and wonders. And this is what I was talking about a few minutes ago. We are attracted to the spectacular. You know, even the devil has a lot of tricks in his little bag. I remind you of when Moses went up against Pharaoh. That Pharaoh had his magical men, you know. He had their sorcerers. But what Moses did came from the power of Almighty God. We find Jesus goes on to say, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I like what he says in verse 25, and we all need to pay attention. He says this, Jesus says to us, behold, I have told you before. I've told you this. Heed it. Go to verse 26, wherefore. Now you know this is true. Whenever you see wherefore, see what it's there for. If this is the case, if they shall say unto you, behold, he, speaking of the Christ, is in the desert. He says, go out and run there and go see him, right? No. He says, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber. Jesus says, don't believe it. Why? Because you'll know when I'm coming. Verse 27 makes it as clear as day. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Folks, when Jesus comes for the second time, there's not going to be any missing it. The world will know. But it's sad that we have people who will come today and claim they are Christ. They tell lies. Because they want followers. They want followers so they can take oftentimes people's money. They lie to raise money. You know, this is not a new truth. The apostle Peter, he warned us of this. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, we'll go there later. I want you to go to 2 Peter first. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter 2, and let's read verses 1 to 3. He talks again about the false prophets, just as Jesus did. Of course, he learned all of these truths from him. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets among you, or false teachers, who privily, that is privately, secretly, shall bring in damnable heresies. Wow. What's he mean by that? These are false doctrines. These are heresies, untruths, errors, even denying the Lord that bought them. And they bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. That's the sad part. And some of them will be Christians. Peter says it is a sad thing. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Why? They're more caught up in the spectacular. Oh, come see what this guy can do. Oh, come hear him preach. But we're not checking out the message. We're not checking out the leader. We're not checking out their motivation. We're just in awe. And he says, we are to recognize error when we see it. And many shall follow their pernicious way, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with frayed words make, what's that next word? Merchandise of you. Your merchandise. You're buying their product, whose judgment now the long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth. I wish I had more time. Listen, I gotta go on. Let's go back to 1 John. The Antichrist is not just the man. We'll cultivate into an individual, but it is a spirit that's in the world and has been in the world. Ever since Jesus came to Bethlehem stable to redeem a lost humanity, the devil has hated it. Because he's known since that point in time, his time is but short. Amen. He knows it. In fact, the proliferation of all of these signs in the skies, which I again believe is the activity of fallen angels and God's angels in strategic combat with them, is because we're coming to the culmination of time where there will be a spiritual battle in heaven. The book of Revelation says it will come where Michael and his angels will cast the devil and his demons and angels from heaven and cast them down to earth. They will no longer be allowed access to the heavens. Not the third heaven, not the second heaven, not even the first heaven. And then all hell will break out on earth. You know what it's called? It's called the tribulation. The end. And it will culminate in the battle of Armageddon. And that spirit of Antichrist, it is here. It is a system that is opposed to the truth of Jesus Christ. We are living in a day and age where Christianity is under attack because the system of Antichrist is opposed to the person of Jesus Christ. And I tell you this because God loves you, and as a pastor I love you, and I pray for you every day that God will just strengthen you and help you to stand. In 2 John, first chapter there, John says, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. So there are going to be people who say, oh no, Jesus, you know, he wasn't God. Some will come along and say, oh, he was a created being by God. He was an angel. Or he was just a great man. Again, they dilute the truth. It was interesting at a national meeting. And I can't believe the denomination, I'm not going to mention it right now, but a major denomination literally elected a committee to study whether or not Jesus is the only way to heaven. I got 10-year-olds who can tell you that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I mean, it doesn't get any clearer than that. That's why we teach that verse to our young people. I got to move on. The third test. Once we check out the leaders and check out the motivation behind why they do and what they say, then we need to check out their converts. Right? Check out the followers. True believers have spiritual discernment against false teaching. That's why John writes, you or ye are of God, little children. But that appears twice. Once it says ye, once it says we. In the Greek, it's beautifully said. It is humus este es theos technia. And it's beautiful when you read it from there. As I said to you a little while ago, that it's God saying, you're my babes, and I'm here to protect you. You are God, little children. You belong to God. He loves you. And then listen to what he says afterward. Because we belong to God, he says, and you have overcome them. What? The spirit of Antichrist. You have overcome them. We are overcomers because greater is he that is in you. Now let's answer the question, who is that that's in you? We've been talking about it all along. Ephesians 1:13, the moment that you were saved, you were imparted the Holy Spirit of God. The Paraclete, the one who will come alongside, guide you, direct you, give you discernment. But folks, God, you know, desires that we help ourselves a little bit. You know, he did give us a brain, and he does challenge us to feed our soul. Get into the Word of God. Say, I don't know if this organization is what it should be. Get into the Bible. Check it out. What do they believe about Jesus? Ultimately, that's where the true test is, isn't it? We're talking about that in our meeting today. What do they really know about Jesus? Who is Jesus to them? God's given us the Holy Spirit. We ought to be thankful to our Lord for that. You know, he is our resident protector. And he protects us against false teaching. The Holy Spirit who indwells us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. That's why we ought not fear. God's not given us the spirit of fear. That fear comes from the world. You are a child of God, and I hope that you leave here today with a little bit more boldness. Some of us, you know, as soon as you hear about demons and the devil and all of this, get a little frightful. You know, you don't have to fear him. You belong to God. Now, I don't invite you or encourage you or suggest to you to get involved in anything of the devil, because you know what? Once you walk away from the canopy of God and get involved with that stuff, you're in trouble. But you don't need to fear them. You know who they need to fear? They need to fear you. This is telling you that. And you can have that boldness. I don't fear them. Greater is he that's in me than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. So why is it that Christians are retreating? Not taking a stand. I don't understand it. Got to hurry. We have communion. Check out their converts. Do they have this tenacity? False preachers, you know, can fill conference centers that seat tens of thousands, and they can win many converts all over the country. Why is that? John tells us why. They are of the world. In verse 5, he says, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and guess what? The world heareth them. So it doesn't fascinate me that these false preachers, these people who come along and use their charismatic personality, draw all these people. Why? Because basically, they're of the world. And the world will hear them. You know, I liken it like this. Do you know that a good salesman just tells you what you want to hear? How many of you know that? You go to buy a car, well, this is exactly what you need. You know, this car was owned by a little old lady who just went to church once. And that's just what you want to hear. Oh, I want that kind of car. The devil's just a good salesman. And he's got a lot of them out there that's working for him. Unfortunately, we find some true Christians get caught up in that. It shouldn't be, because you're not of the world. He says, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world. And guess what? Because they're of the world, and they're offering what the world has to give, guess what? They're happy to listen. Well, I'll guarantee you this. The devil's not going to pay. He never does. He doesn't even like his own. We go to the book of Revelation and we find that when the bottomless pit is opened and these scorpions come out, many believe they're demons, they attack Satan's followers. I gotta hurry. You know, this, what we're learning from John, all has come from our Savior, who dearly loves us. Our Lord spoke of these false worldly prophets. He said in Matthew 7:15, listen to me carefully, he said, beware of false prophets which come to you in What's that next word? Sheep's clothing. Ah, sheep's clothing. Sheep are followers of the shepherd. Oh, wait a minute. That means they're deceiving me. Yeah, that's what Jesus said. And note this, he ended it by saying, inwardly, in their heart of heart, they are raving or ravaging wolves. Now, I don't know a whole lot about wolves because that's not my forte. But it's interesting to find out a little bit about wolves. What is the characteristic of wolves? Well, I found out they are a real menace to sheep farmers. Yeah. You know, they want to get close to the sheep because they want to kill them, devour them. The wolf has the ability, I learned this, to lurk near a sheepfold, and he literally gains the trust of the sheep. He does. He just is very patient, and every day just gets a little closer till the sheep just go, oh, that's just old Bongo the wolf. He never bothers anybody. Old Bongo, he just comes every day. We just wave, hi old Bongo, how you doing? Till Bongo bites him. That's the characteristic of a wolf. And Jesus said, that's what these people are like. Beware. And by the way, God's given you a shepherd of the sheep to be able to discern the wolves. The natural tendency of a wolf is to feed on the sheep. And they do it very subtly. Exactly the way the devil works. You know, the world we live wants to hear about success. The world wants to hear how to be healthy, how to be wealthy, how to have prosperity. And we got a lot of preachers out there preaching what people want to hear. Now, I'm not against God blessing anybody. But the truth of the matter is, when you study the New Testament, you find the greatest servants of God had a lot of sacrificing to do. But that's not what you're hearing today. Just send me a seed dollar. Oh, you, God will bless you. You'll have health, wealth, and prosperity. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells us that we will know them by their fruits, because good trees will what? Bear good fruit, and bad trees will bring forth evil fruit. And if we are mature as believers and constantly partake of the solid food of the Word of God, which is deep biblical truth, we will be able to identify the false prophets. That's why we ought to be growing in the Lord to where we can assimilate strong meat, that we can be students of the Word of God. False teachers call evil good by spiritualizing selfishness, spiritualizing greed. Now again, I'm not against God blessing. God blesses when He desires. And there are many people that have been blessed by God with health, wealth, and prosperity. And we're not saying that they're evil. But if you're buying what the world's offering, that religion will give you that, you're buying a false set of goods. Because Jesus told us, and I'm almost done, that no man is greater than his master. He said, if they hated me, they will also what? Hate you. And listen, if Jesus suffered in this life, and we're followers of Jesus Christ, then who do we think we are if we're never going to endure any suffering? And yet we come to church sometimes, and I know we all want to feel good about ourselves, and I think there's a lot to feel good about, and I've said some of it today. You belong to God. You are like one of his little babies, because that's the Greek. That's what the Greek says. You're like one of his little babies. And he'll nurture you. He'll protect you if you'll let him. I'm going to finish. God's people should always want to hear the truth of God's word. And we need to be mindful to pick out false teachers. Hereby know we, John says in his last verse of this passage that we study, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God is not going to hear us. Not of the Lord, you're going to give him the truth, you're not going to want to hear it. So hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Do you know the spirit of truth? You know that God loves you. Christ died for you. Paid for your sin by his vicarious death on the cross. And we're going to come to where we understand that more implicitly as we partake of the communion. You know, you can tell whether a preacher is preaching by the spirit of truth or the spirit of error by the kind of people who are going to be receptive to the message. And there are all kinds of false prophets in the world today. But true believers do not need to be deceived. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, as we come to the conclusion of this passage, oh, reinforce in our hearts the importance of being in your word, to having a discerning spirit, especially since we live in the last days where the spirit of Antichrist is so prevalent in the world. Help us to be mindful to check things out through the biblical grid. Help us to rely on the Holy Spirit that was in us, that we might detect false teachings by checking out the content against the Word of God, checking out their leaders, whether they are sacrificial people, giving of their lives for Jesus Christ, that we check out their motivation behind their service, and that we check out the kind of people that follow them. Father, as we come to the communion table this morning, may we all take a moment to recognize that it was our sin that placed your Son, our Savior Jesus, on the cross, and that he willingly went to the cross and died, shedding his blood, that we would be redeemed. We are here today in remembrance of Jesus Christ and what he did. So may, Father, in the quietness of the next few moments, we truly do business with you, confessing before you our faults and sins, and making us pure as we receive the communion. Father, if there's anyone among us who is confused about all these truths today, I pray the Holy Spirit impart to them the need for Jesus, that they'll come to Christ as their Savior. May they know I'm available to them to help them and guide them, that they may come to know Christ. For us who are now saved, may we partake worthy of the communion. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the